Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Robo Scout podcast. You might notice I'm not Jeff Ponce, but he is unavailable this week, so I, Josh Norris, am pinch hitting for him this week. But we do have the Robo Scout creator himself, Dylan White, with us. Say hello, Dylan.
Hello. It's not really a Robo Scout podcast. Robo Scout is just kind of a guest that appears every so often. It's a fantasy baseball podcast.
You see how well I know about this. And do you know why I don't know this? Because I am terrible at fantasy baseball. Every move I make is the opposite of what you should make. And it's been proven by the fact that I don't think I've been in the playoffs in either of my two leagues close to a decade. It's been pretty bad. So I naturally am hosting this podcast. But we are going to talk about prospects, and I do know about prospects, and Robo Scout knows about prospects, and Dylan knows about prospects, so we'll talk about them on this episode. So we'll get right into it. I just got back from the Arizona Complex League. I am someone who's kind of obsessed with the Complex Leagues, as is Robo Scout to a degree. I'll be down in Florida at some point soon, and I will be in the Dominican later. So I'm going to be hitting all three complex leagues at some point this year. But I started with Arizona because that is my favorite for a lot of reasons. And I saw, you know, 7 games over the course of a week, a lot of Dodgers, a lot of Diamondbacks. And we'll start with one of the guys I saw the most, which was Eduardo Quintero with the Dodgers. Dylan, tell me what Robo Scout thinks of Eduardo Quintero.
Robo Scout loves Eduardo Quintero. On my weekly article that came out on Sunday, I actually wrote it through Thursday's games. And at the time, Quintero was number one at the complex. Since then, Robert Calaz has tied him. But basically, he's the top of the table. Robo Scout loves loves everything about him, including the Statcast underneath. So yeah, Robo Scout's definitely on board with Eduardo Quintero. But Robo Scout would love to hear what you saw.
What Human Bear thinks? It's a very
iconic
nickname. you know, I liked him a lot. It's, you know, he passes the eye test for sure. It's a really quick, malleable swing. I thought you kind of, when you see it from the side, you just kind of go, okay, that's what it looks like. There are admittedly some tweaks he could make to kind of optimize his ball flight a little bit, and he could, you know, hit the ball a little harder. And I think part of the reason why he probably dipped below Calaz is during the week he had to face, and the rest of the team had to face, Yumin Lin, a left-hander from the Diamondbacks who's been to Double A, and he can do something that is kind of anathema to complex league guys, which is pitch. He can execute a breaking ball and execute a changeup. It didn't help that they had what they called the Saturday strike zone out there, which meant they were working with about a 24-inch wide plate, for better or for worse. So those combinations got us a rare sub-3-hour 9-inning complex league game, which, considering the day before was a 4-hour 10-inning game, and a first 9 outs, it took an hour. You can understand the difference when someone in the complex league knows how to pitch. But over, I think I saw him 3 games, Quintero, and you could see the makings of a potential 5-tool player. I know, some of those tools aren't going to really be difference makers for fantasy outside of eligibility, but you could see a center fielder there, guy who could hit for power, run. He could do a lot of really fun things, and he caught my eye immediately. And if he's not, I'm going to all these complex leagues because I'm doing the ACL and FCL top 20s, which will be at the end of July, right before the trade deadline, since that's when the leagues end right now. And I would say Quintero is the leader in the clubhouse for number one right now. Collaz is probably there too, a host of other Dodgers. There's a lot of really interesting players in that league this year. Dylan, do you have any more thoughts on Quintero, or do you want to move to the next guy?
Well, did he play center field
He sure did.
the entire time that
I
he's
think there was
on?
a DH day in there, but I
Right.
think that's center field. But it is what it is. Moving to the second guy is a guy, Quintero is kind of famous. He was one of the stars on one of the DSL clubs for the Dodgers last year, who for a while, the only team that the Dodgers were losing to in the DSL were the other Dodgers clubs. Like it was, intra-squad days, one of those teams had to lose, but they just kind of ran roughshod over that league. But the Dodgers played the Diamondbacks for whatever reason for a lot of games that I was there, which is weird because they're on opposite sides of the Phoenix pod. And one guy who jumped out was an infielder named Demetrio Crisantes. I believe Jeff Ponce has written him up as Helium before. So it's not a new name to BA subscribers, but he was I believe like 12th rounder of the D-backs a couple years ago. And he hit 347 in the complex last year. And when I left, he was hitting 347 in the complex. So he was consistent, if nothing else. What does RoboScout think of Demetrio Crisantes?
Yeah, so he popped out to RoboScout, and I wrote about him a couple weeks ago. The interesting thing about him is the power numbers. He only has one home run right now, so it's not really popping there. So like kind of the traditional stat line scouting outlets or whatever, they're probably sleeping on him. And what RoboScout liked was the Statcast data underneath. His contact percentage is like 82%. His 90th percentile is like over 102. He chases at less than league average. His barrel rate's like double league average. And he does that against all pitch types as well. So, I mean, that's one of the things I love doing with RoboScout is finding the gems that you may not otherwise know of, because just looking at the stat line, it's like, not that compelling. I mean, it's a 141 WRC plus as a 19-year-old. I mean, that's solid enough, but he's, a bit lower on the RoboScout list. It's the Statcast underneath, which is, kind of only Baseball America subscribers kind of have that in the RoboScout article. So that's what RoboScout really liked. I think there's some concerns maybe about his arm. Did you see anything like that
There was
about
an
like
injury with
backwards
his arm in the
defense?
past. He looked fine to me. He played, I think, like third and second the days I was there.
Okay.
But he what did stick out, like the first day I was there, I was at a Dodgers Reds game, and I was saying, hey, to the other scouts, like, hey, other scouts, the scouts, I am not a scout, who was there, say, hey, what do you think of these guys? They say, you should see that Crisantes guy, he's really interesting. And then I go see him the next day or so, and you could see why. Like, dude can hit. Period, point blank. Like it's a really quick short swing. I can understand why there's not a whole lot of power. It's kind of flat through the zone, but he can find the barrel pretty easy, and you might get line drives and doubles and singles and all that good stuff. So I can understand why he might not be popping in terms of pure power, just because that's not the way the ball flight's going to work. But he can put the good part of the bat on the ball pretty easy, and is one of those guys who I think is going to be a super pure hitter. It's again, you look at it from the side, and it's like that's the way it looks, man. You can see it on my Twitter. My Twitter is JNorris427. So I posted open side reels of, Crisantes, of Jordan Lawler. He's a little over the level, but it's really kind of unfortunate that he was rehabbing down there, and his I got back on Wednesday, and he's injured again already. So that's really unfortunate, and I think you're gonna miss significant time with a hamstring strain. Yasel Soler, who oof, you want to talk about a guy with some thump. I saw his a home run. I was stunned to find it was his first home run of the year. And it was a monster. I came off a hanger, but he absolutely demolished it. Who else did I see down there that I liked? Alexander Albertus with the Dodgers. Yoenri Vargas with the Dodgers. Jose Meza with the Dodgers. A lot of good Dodgers indeed. Those are the two best clubs down there by far. It's kind of an interesting mix of younger guys and some dudes who shouldn't be there probably. But let's go to the next guy who's not in the Arizona Complex League, and that is Starlin Cava of the Phillies, who is on our top 100 right now for a lot of reasons. And I fully expect him to be one of the more exciting players I see when I go to Florida here in, I think it's gonna be like 2 weeks now. I still have to actually book the trip, but I know when I'm going. Dylan, I'll ask you again. What does RoboScout think of Starlin Cava?
Starlin Cava is ranked fifth in the Complex League. And the interesting thing about it is, well, interesting to me, is that RoboScout doesn't know anything about defense. So even without considering the fact that he, as Jeff always likes to go on, a possible 80 at short, even without that considered, he's still number five. So I think when you add in the defense, obviously you got an elite prospect there. So, I mean, it's the speed. The RoboScout loves the 25 stolen bases, WRC plus of 141, good contact. The exit velocities maybe aren't not the hugest, but doesn't chase, kind of a good approach. So yeah, RoboScout really likes Starlin Cava. So definitely a top 100 fantasy prospect if I were to make a fantasy prospect list.
Yeah, I really like Starlin Cava as well. I'm really excited to hopefully see him. And the good thing about him is if he gets promoted out of the Complex League, he will go to the Florida State League, which means he will go all the way across the street from the backfields at the Phillies Complex to the big stadium. So he will make a trek of several feet instead of, say, you know, if certain other guys get promoted, they will go to low A and other places, and I hope they stick around until then. But yeah, Cava is an elite defender. That's his carry. Well, it's one of his carrying tools. Speed is there too. Although, you know, part of that is the stolen base rules, but he is probably going to beat the record for last year's stolen bases. I think it was 36 was the high last year in the FCL. He's already got 25. So hit, some potential power, 80 defender. You got the makings of a very good prospect. I think he's going to move up a little bit in the Philly system, which is pretty good at the top. You know, you've got guys like Andrew Painter, who just kind of obviously in a holding pattern. Aiden Miller, who absolutely brutalized the Florida State League for a while and had the scouting reports to match. And then I think I wouldn't be surprised to see Cava number three on that list. I think that's the way it lines up in our top 100 right now. But you're looking at, again, the makings of a potential 5-tool player and a potential star. You know, I don't know if they're what they want to do with the deadline, but that might be one of their more attractive pieces if they choose to upgrade and, you know, try to win a World Series. You say a lot of, we just said a lot of really nice things about Cava, but, you know, he's a long way away too. And I've said it 1,000 times, they don't raise flags or give out trophies for having the best system in baseball. They give them out for World Series. So I would be a very aggressive GM at the deadline. That was kind of a digression there, but there's another Florida State or Florida Complex League guy that kind of should be popping on your radar. And that is Rays right-hander Trevor Harrison. He is a guy I didn't know a whole heck of a lot about this year, coming into this year, but he is making a name for himself in the Complex League. We're going to keep playing this record here, Jeff. What does RoboScout think of Trevor Harrison?
Trevor Harrison is ranked number one of all the Complex pitchers. And the interesting thing is he started off at number one and he has not relinquished that title the entire time. And in fact, he's kind of increasing the gap between him and second place, which is a Dodgers pitcher named Christian Zazueta. But I have personally in my dynasty leagues, I use RoboScout like primarily as my prospect finding tool for dynasty leagues. I actually did not pick him up in any leagues. And one of the reasons, and I want to kind of get your opinion on this, is he throws his fastball, which is pretty good. I'm sure you have the metrics. 75% of the time, he does have three other pitches. He does have a slider, he's a cutter, he's a changeup, but He's like primarily first fastball only in quotes. And so I was kind of, hesitant to see, like I want to see him use more of his mix. So I just, do you have any comment about what you've seen from Trevor Harrison or
I mean, I
what you've
will see.
heard of?
Hopefully, I will see about Trevor
Yeah.
Harrison. I know that he's well regarded in the scouting community. I know that when I wrote him up for Helium a couple of weeks ago, I got a text from someone saying, gosh darn it, we were trying to hide him a little bit. We're trying to, hopefully he wasn't going to blow up. I wouldn't be concerned about the fastball usage at this level. I mean, you're learning how to pitch. You're establishing the fastball. And also you're in the Rays system. They're pretty good at developing young arms. Like there's a handful of teams that are really good at developing young arms. I think the Rays are one of them. But they like to slow cook them and take them real, slower than a lot of clubs these days. But I wouldn't be concerned about that. No offense to RoboScout, but I think a lot of the numbers you see coming out of the complex leagues are you have to take them with several grains of salt, just because it's such varied competition. I was warned before I went down there that the baseball would be quite bad, and if from just a pure baseball watching standpoint, yes, the baseball is quite bad. You're looking for tools and stuff down there, and you're trying to mine through the muck a little bit. And he's a guy who's kind of stuck out. But the fact that he has four pitches that he does use is pretty good. And he's got the body of a starter, he's got the results. I think he is kind of like a guy maybe in the mold of a Gary Gilhill, who last year kind of made himself a name a little bit in the complex league and then kind of really popped onto the scene this year. We'll talk about him in a couple of minutes here. But first, Dylan, after talking about four complex leagues names, we are going to throw to a little bit of a break.
Do it.
AI might be the most important innovation ever. It's storming every industry, with literally billions being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs the right data and a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, and application development, with AI embedded across it all. And Oracle Sovereign Cloud helps you address your requirements for location, access, and data residency. OCI provides blazing fast speeds for AI's demanding workloads. And in the cloud, when you pay by the minute, speed matters. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. If you want OCI to help you do more and spend less, like Uber, the Premier League, and Oracle Red Bull Racing, take a free test drive at oracle.com/bandwidth. That's oracle.com/bandwidth. oracle.com/bandwidth.
And we are back. So after talking about four complex league guys, we are going to move to full season ball. Under the lights, in the bright cities of Charleston, South Carolina, Kinston, North Carolina, Frisco, Texas, and where is he right now? Double A, Tulsa, Oklahoma. So we will start with Rangers right-hander Alejandro Rosario, who is one of the bigger pop-up guys this year after a decorated college career, barren college career at Miami. He has really popped onto the scene. Dylan, what does RoboScout think of Alejandro Rosario?
Alejandro Rosario is currently ranked fifth in low A. And so the way I do it is it's just like minimum 15 innings right now. So the people ahead of him are Matt Wilkinson, Jonah Tong, Quinn Matthews, three names who are no longer in low A, and then Santiago Suarez. So, depending how you look at it, maybe you could say Rosario is currently number two in low A. But yeah, RoboScout, I'm giving him a
You're
pronoun.
Gendering him, yeah.
I am.
So
loves
I.
the stuff, loves the results, loves the command. It's like kind of everything you like, and like it's just 97 mile an hour fastball. Like it's just filthy. I don't want to kind of steal your thunder. I know you've seen him and you wrote about him. So yeah, just from a number standpoint, RoboScout loves him. But let's hear from someone with eyes.
Huh. RoboScout doesn't have eyes. That's
optical sensors.
Well, my eyes saw a really interesting guy who is not the biggest guy in the world, but held 96 to 98 mile an hour velocity for I think it was six innings. I think he touched 99. I don't think he threw a fastball lower than 96 for those innings. He struck out, I want to say 11 or 12 over six innings on 66 pitches, which seems almost impossible. given that, you know, at some point there's going to be a foul ball in there. But he was filthy. You can see the video on my Twitter again. That's jnorris427. You are at @_arrival.
Yeah, it's two underscores.
Two underscores.
You'd okay. still find it if you had the one.
But yeah, he was really nasty that day against the Fredericksburg club. And I was told by some people with the Rangers that you should go see him. It's all right. I'll drive it's an hour, 40 minutes each way to go to down east. So I did. And it was well worth the show. You know, he was, you know, fastball, splitter, and a breaking ball. I think it's the biggest kind of area to work for him. It is a curveball with slider shape. So it kind of rides the line between both. It's a slurve. I think the next step for him is kind of to define that a little bit better and, you know, pick one that sits more in a traditional bucket. But right now against low A hitters, you know, he's doing what he's supposed to do. He is, after all, a college arm. The Rangers kind of messed with his arsenal a little bit, kind of freed him up. They told him to use his fastball more elevated and actually allowed him to use the splitter, which was a pitch that he was not allowed to use at Miami. And the results have been a north-south attack. It's pretty good with a slurvy breaking ball weapon that gives him an avenue to attack hitters east-west. So he can, I love this term that I got from someone a few years ago, he can make X's in the strike zone, which is kind of pretty nice way of saying he can play the north-south and east-west game if he wants to. It'll be interesting to see when he moves up to high A Hickory and what he does there. But for now, he's certainly one of the better prospects in low A. And it's kind of funny, you mentioned Santiago Suarez. In a three-day span, if you were in Kinston, you could see Gary Gilhill and then Alejandro Rosario and then Santiago Suarez. So those two teams matched up this past week. So we will make that seamless transition to my second favorite arm I've seen this year, Gary Gilhill. I wrote a veritable, an Iliad to him the other day. I had gone to Columbia, South Carolina for other reasons, and I saw him, and you know, as soon as he stepped on the mound, my ears kind of started burning. I perked up a little bit, like, oh, this is what it looks like. Athletic, whippy, all four seam, two seam cut fastball. If I remember correctly, slider and changeup, and he just dominated. You know, it's a athletic frame, inexperienced pitcher, room for more strength, knows what he's doing out there, attacks hitters. It was everything you could want in an arm, and I'm utterly in love with that profile and what he did this past year. I knew a little bit about him. I know Jeff had mentioned him last year, but this is a different animal than it was last year. He dealt with a little bit of, I think it was a shoulder ding last year, and he had touched 93 in the complex league in 2023 and is sitting 94, averaging 94 this year. I think he had him up to 97. He did what he wanted, and he did the same thing again in Kinston this week. And so we're flipping the script here a little bit. Now I'll ask you, how does Robo Scout like Gary Gilhill?
Yeah, he is 13th in low A. You may think that's lower than it should be, and that's probably true. Basically, he only has a strikeout, only in quotes, has a strikeout rate of, you know, 27%. So, you know, Robiscott really loves the Ks. He does have a 63% ground ball rate, which Robiscott does like to, you know, keep the ball in the yard. Loves the five pitch mix. But yeah, Robiscott doesn't know the athletic build. He doesn't know about the competitive fire on the mound, all that stuff. So, even without knowing that, he's, you know, top 15. He's going deep in games. Like you said, 94 mile an hour, 85 mile an hour slider, five pitch mix. It's pretty solid. I wrote about him 1 week as well too, because he caught RoboScout's eye, optical sensor.
Yeah, you know, I'd say you know, I think he's the second best pitcher I've seen this year. I think the number one. We can touch on him for a second, but Noah Schultz. With right. the White Sox, you don't see arms like that very often. I saw him in spring training, and he was taking the soul from, you know, Reds hitters. The slider is just absolute weapons grade filth. You know, you've got a fastball in the mid to upper 90s, budding changeup in there, funky delivery. I mean, the comparisons are obvious and unfair. Imagine a low slot left-hander with an upper 90s fastball and a hellacious slider. And you can, I'm not going to do any comps, but I think everybody else knows exactly who I'm talking about. What is Robo Scout like about Noah Schultz? This wasn't on our script, but it's not like I, you know.
Oh, he's number one. No, Noah Schultz is number one at high A and double A, actually. He's qualified at double A as well. The big thing is...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the big thing right from the top was the stuff. Like, so with the stuff plus our internal model that we have, like, he automatically has, like, an advantage over the other pitchers. Everything you said, like the high 90s fastball, the hellacious slider, it's like massive, like 30 inches of horizontal movement, arm side or glove side, depending what he's throwing. And the numbers behind it hold up as well. So yeah, he's like the number one pitching prospect behind Skeens if you kind of go by RoboScout's algorithm.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say he is, I think that's where we have him at the top 100 too. I think he's the number one prospect, pitching prospect in baseball who's not in the minors right now. Or who's not in the majors right
not
now.
In the majors, yeah.
Not in the majors. Yeah, it's one of those guys that, put it this way, like, I would pay to watch him. I've seen him a billion times already. I think I saw him like four times last year. I actually saw him give up six runs in a game, with a game where the Mudcats, here at Zebulon, I almost certainly had the signs, because he went from giving up nothing to anyone to getting hit around like nobody's business. And then went back to dominating. You know, the only knock on him right now is he's not going super deep in games. There's a little bit of an injury history on him. But you know, that's one of those guys that, you know, I can't wait till he's in Charlotte. I can't wait till that entire Birmingham team is in Charlotte. That's a rotation of death right there. We did not intend to talk about Noah Schultz, but I will talk about him any chance we get. So we talked about Gary Gilhill. We talked about Alejandro Rosario. Let me see who else is on my little script here. We've got, oh, another fireball that I've seen a billion times. Emiliano Teodo with the Rangers, and he struck out 11 the other day. Dylan, what does Robo Scout think of Emiliano Teodo?
He surprisingly is not as high as the others. He's 35th in Double A. I was wondering why, because I saw the stuff. I saw like the 98 mile an hour fastball, the 88 mile an hour slider that gets 60% whiffs. All this stuff, I was very confused. And I think it's the 13% walk rate and the, in quotes again, 30% strikeout rate, which isn't, you know, that high. Like Brandon Young has a 41, Zach Penrod has a 37%. Like, I'm just looking at some of the names above. And Kasperius, Brandon Sproat, all kind of above 30%. And he's a bit older. So like kind of his age curve peak is like, it's a lot closer to what he's doing now. But yeah, I mean, I kind of gave away the farm there by talking about the stuff. The stuff looks very, very impressive. But again, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I'll give you a piece of wisdom from the great scout, Tim Wilkin, that was passed down from John Manuel. They don't check IDs on the mound, Dylan. They don't check IDs on the mound. But yeah, his stuff. So the story with him is last year, for about half the year, it wasn't going well. It was a guy who was throwing, you know, upper 90s to 102, and it was getting hit. And I remember being at a start of his in Winston-Salem, and I looked at my chart by the end of the game, and I said, you know, he didn't get a single swing and miss on the fastball the entire day, which is pretty impressive, pretty insane considering the velocity and the quality mostly of the hitters he was facing. But you know, then the next start, apparently, I guess they gave him a little bit of a break, and they went from a four-seam to a two-seam or a sinker. And since then, wow. As a matter of fact, I was in the fall league, and our colleague, the great Bill Mitchell, the commissioner, the mayor of Arizona, I was saying, okay, I can't wait to see Teodo. I can't wait to see Teodo. And I said, I didn't know about the sinker at that point. I said, Bill, you're going to be really disappointed. He throws very hard, but it doesn't do anything. And then he comes in my last game of the season, and it was just God mode. Like, absolutely good morning, good afternoon, good night. I think he like must have thrown like 12 pitches and got a couple punches in the ninth inning. Wow. It was really, really fantastic. And I felt like a fool. Like, that night, he looked like he could have walked over from the Scottsdale or from Salt River Fields to Chase Field in Arizona and pitched in the World Series that day. It was unbelievable. And he's carried it into the season. It's been a pretty nasty season for him, which is impressive because, A, you know, it's been a slower burn for him. And also, he's in the Texas League, which is a hitter's paradise. Not only is he pitching in Frisco, you have to go navigate Amarillo every so often. And that's, you know, Coors Field of Texas. And there's other places in that league that are just not fun for pitchers. So I, as you know, in my infinite wisdom, I'll say this. The best way to keep the ball in the yard is to get them to miss it. And he does that a fair amount. So I'm really excited about Emiliano Teodo. We're doing updates to our top 30s. He should be moving up on the list along with Alejandro Rosario, you know, in a system that for the Rangers system thinned a little bit with the graduations of Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford. And, you know, I think no surprise here, Sebastian Walcott's going to be number one in that system. I understand he's had some struggles in high A, but he's also 18 years old and he's starting to turn on a little bit.
Yeah, he's turning it around right now.
So a little bit, last guy, another fireballer, another big fireballer, Edgardo Henriquez with the Dodgers. He's gone from missing the year with Tommy John in 2023. He's already in Double A right now. I'm betting RoboScout doesn't care for him because he's a reliever, but tell me if I'm right.
You are right. So kind of a funny story. Maybe it's not. He popped immediately when the season started and the Stuff Plus was a big part of that. And then he kind of fell off the map. Like he never shows up in my spreadsheets. And I was like, oh, I guess it must be because he's a reliever. But I realized what the problem is. He pitched 10 innings in low A and then he got promoted. And then he pitched 12 innings in high A and got promoted. And so he's not qualifying under my thresholds. So he's not even appearing in the list. But he probably would, just if I lowered the inning thresholds, he would probably would with his 100-mile-an-hour fastball, cutter and slider that get whiffs like above 60%, both of them do. Like it's like actually kind of insane stuff that kind of breaks the model. And I actually just put a bid in for him in my leagues because I'm like, I have a blind spot to this because RoboScout's not, he's not showing up on it, but I think this stuff is just absolutely filthy.
Yeah.
So please tell me about it.
Well, so you have your Stuff Plus model. I'll tell you the stuff is plus stuff, you know, it's double plus stuff. It's, you know, Oreo cookie, double stuff. It's filthy. You know, it's a big imposing frame with, you know, it looks like he looks like he's selling jeans out there. He's really just this monster on the hill. And you know, you're right, 98. I had him up to 102 in spring. One of a couple guys by the way, I see you shaking your head.
No, I'm just like, that's just unreal.
No. I get you why, but here, I'm going to blow your mind a little further. He's not the hardest thrower in that system. They have a guy named Reynaldo Yin, who was up to 104 this year.
Wow.
But Henriquez, I can't help but think of this is I use this comparison a lot, but Dellin Betances when he was coming up with the Yankees. It's not as big as Dellin, but it's just monstrous stuff. And it looks like he's going to be, put it this way, I would not be surprised if Edgardo Henriquez is pitching for the Dodgers in the big leagues this year and pitching in the postseason. It's just absolutely filth monster, laugh out loud, nasty stuff when it's right. And I say that like, you know, I was mentioning it earlier today. There's some videos where you can hear me chuckling in the background. Like here's a small diversion. Craig Yoho, a guy Jeff's spotlighted some point in the offseason as a reliever who could move quickly and has indeed moved quickly. And I said to one of my colleagues, I've got a video of him. He throws a changeup and you can hear me in the background go, oh my God. And, you know, cause it, you know, it fell off the table and burrowed its way to the center of the earth. It was that kind of filthy, but we're talking about Henriquez here. And I saw him in spring and it was just the hitters don't have a chance. I'll say he was effectively wild that day in the second inning where I'm sitting there on one knee trying to shoot with my slow-mo camera. And I'm a little afraid. It's like If I get hit, that's going to break my wrist. It's not great. But he's been absolutely dominant since then and has moved from low A to double A. I wouldn't be surprised, like I said, he sees triple A in a couple weeks, and then maybe in the big leagues. So that's kind of the eight guys we wanted to spotlight this week. Anybody else pop up for you on RoboScout that we missed? I know I gave you this pinch hitting appearance was very late breaking, so we didn't get as much prep as you and Jeff usually get.
No, this is great. What one thing that came to mind though is Teoto and Rosario both for the Rangers. Is that a testament? Is there a narrative there that the Texas pitching development has taken a step forward, or that they're looking at different?
It said, I see a lot of Rangers guys
I
because
see.
I'm in North Carolina. Not that the Rangers pitching development isn't fine, or I mean, they've got some success stories in there. And there's some other guys coming. You know, when he gets healthy, Isaac Tiger is a name to watch. He showed off in the Prospect Showdown game, the spring breakout, that's what it's called. Then got hurt, and I guess he's been gangbusters down in the Complex League, but I missed him. But you know, my general philosophy down there is to avoid, if I can, the Rangers and the Brewers and the White Sox, just because if their prospects are any good, I will see them at some point up here. Whereas like the Dodgers and Diamondbacks, I won't see at all here. But unless I go, like, I won't see the Diamondbacks unless I go to Hillsboro, which is close to where I live, or where I grew up, and then the Fall League. So I try to maximize the guys I'm never going to get to see again. We've got 3 minutes left on this Zoom, so we will close up shop here. For Dylan White, I'm Josh Norris, pinch hitting for Jeff Ponce. RoboScout waves his E arm and says, thank you all for listening. And Jeff and Dylan will see you on the next one.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
AI might be the most important innovation ever. It's storming every industry, with literally billions being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs the right data and a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, and application development, with AI embedded across it all. And Oracle Sovereign Cloud helps you address your requirements for location, access, and data residency. OCI provides blazing fast speeds for AI's demanding workloads. And in the cloud, when you pay by the minute, speed matters. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. If you want OCI to help you do more and spend less, like Uber, the Premier League, and Oracle Red Bull Racing, take a free test drive at oracle.com/bandwidth. That's oracle.com/bandwidth. Oracle.com/bandwidth.